Great. Well, many of you know that I have a friend called Urchin Scragg, who lives in the north of England in a town called Scumsby. And Urchin has got lots of good friends. One of them is called Dudley Dimmock. One of them is called Colin Blockhead. And one of them is called Oliver Grenville Pradd. And the four of them were hanging out together. And they've been talking for months about building a den, a base where they could hang out, where they could play, where they could make plans. They'd even tried building a couple, but they weren't very good and they didn't last very long. But one Saturday morning, something happened to change all that. They were playing at Ollie Pradd's house when all of a sudden, boom, there was a total eclipse of the sun. It wasn't actually a total eclipse of the sun. It was scum. We are in Scumsby. It wasn't actually a total eclipse of the sun. It was Urchin's cousin, Cuthbert. He popped round to see them. Now, those of you who don't know Cousin Cuthbert, he's a big guy. Okay, he plays rugby league for the Scumsby Scorpions. Normally in rugby, in the front row of the scrum, you have three people. Scumsby Scorpions, one person. Cousin Cuthbert, that's how big he was. That's him on the right. So there he is. He'd come round. He said, boys, I've got a present for you. He went back to his enormous motorbike and lifted off a huge crate. Boys, I have bought you a treehouse. There was a picture on the front of what the treehouse would look like. He said, in this crate is everything we need to build a treehouse. It's got the plans. It's got the tools. It's got the wood. And I've even spoken to Oliver Grenville Pradd's parents, and they've said that we can build it in the tree in their garden. Now, that was important. There's not much trees in Scumsby. There's very little greenery. There's a few blades of grass on the rugby league pitch, but that's about it. But the Grenville Pradds live in a house on the outskirts of town. It's a bit posher. They've got a bit of a garden and they've got a lovely tree that they could build it in. Well, the boys were so excited. They were like, whoa, we've wanted a den for ages. We wanted a base. This is perfect. Let's build it now. And Cousin Cuthbert said, no, we're not going to build it now. It's going to take us about a week to build this. I'll be in charge. You can work with me. We're going to do it in half term. And with that, he waved goodbye and off he roared on his Intercity 125 motorbike. Well, the boys were excited. They were chatting away. Urchin said, what a great treehouse. Oh, it's going to be amazing. Do you think we really have to wait till half term to build it? And Oliver Grenville Pradd said, yes, we're rather intelligent. We could follow the instructions. And Dudley Dimmock said, yeah, I mean, how hard could it be? Just stick the walls together and put a roof on? Yeah, said Colin Blockhead. And then Cousin Cuthbert just has to come and lift it into the tree. Now, quick straw poll. Hands up, who thinks that's a good idea? Hands up, who thinks that's a bad idea? And the rest of you just don't like raising your hands in church, I'm guessing. Okay, well. Later that afternoon, Cousin Cuthbert got a call from Mrs. Grenville Pradd. She said, Cuthbert, I think you need to get over here quickly. There's a frightful to-do in the back garden. Now, Cousin Cuthbert wasn't sure what a frightful to-do was, but he thought he'd better get over there quickly. And when he went into the garden, you would not believe what he saw. Dudley and Urchin were fighting over the plans that were all ripped. Colin Blockhead was swinging the hammer around his head like a maniac. Oliver Grenville Pradd had a bandage around his head and the wood was sawn into pieces and all bent. The glass for the windows was smashed. Boys, said Cousin Cuthbert, what have you done? Urchin said, it's their fault. I told them what to do and they're not listening. No, said Dudley, it's your fault. You've told us the wrong stuff. Oliver Grenville Pradd said, no, it's Colin's fault. He's crazy with that hammer. He hit me on the head with it. And Dudley and Colin Blockhead said, well, when we were hammering the nails in, you said, when I nod my head, you hit it. So I did. I meant the nails, not my head, said Ollie. Well, Cousin Cuthbert was angry. He said, boys, why didn't you listen to me? Why didn't you trust me? Why didn't you wait for me? It was going to be great. And now it's ruined. Do you know what? It was ruined. Over the next few weeks, the boys tried to mend it, but it was no good. Then they thought they might save up to buy a new one. But when they saw how much it cost, they realized they could never afford it. They'd had a wonderful gift, and they'd ruined it. Do you know what? The Bible tells us that God loves us. God has given us this wonderful world to look after and to enjoy. But do you know what? A bit like the boys in the story, each of us have said, God, we don't want you. We don't need you. In different times and in different ways, we've each said, God, I don't want to do what you say. I want to do things my way. And because of that, we've ruined his world. We've ruined our friendships with each other. Worst of all, we've ruined our friendship with God. But you know what? God still loves us. Isn't that amazing? Now, this week was Valentine's Day. Those of you who don't know what Valentine's Day looks like, it's something like that. I wonder how many of you had a card. I won't do a show of hands. I wonder how many of you had a card. I wonder how many of you had a card like this. I love you because your hair is so greasy and your breath smells. Anybody have a card like that? Or maybe a card that said, I love you because you're so selfish all the time and I love it when you're mean to me. Anybody have a card like that? Well, I did. No, I'm kidding. But we love people who are nice to us, don't we? We love people who are lovely. But God loves us. Even though we've made a mess of his world, even though we've pushed him away, God still loves us. That's what the line of our verse says. For God so loved the world. Isn't that amazing? He still loves us. Back to our story. It was the end of the Easter holidays. An urchin got a phone call from Oliver Grenville Pratt. Hi, Ollie, said Urchin. How is going to Monte Carlo with your parents?
Don't worry about that, he said. You need to get over here now.
Urchin ran over to Ollie's house, and he could not believe it. There was Ollie and his friends. There was Cousin Cuthbert. And there, in the tree, was a new, perfect, beautiful, painted, finished treehouse. What? Said Urchin. How? It's for me, said Cousin Cuthbert. It's for you. But you bought another one. It's really expensive. I know, said Cousin Cuthbert. I love you guys. I want you to have it. And they did love it. It was the best base ever. They played loads of games there. They hung out there in the evenings, on the weekends. And best of all, Cousin Cuthbert would come round and visit them there. After rugby training, they'd chat to him. He was about the same height. It was perfect. Do you know what? God has promised to make a new world. Like our world now, but without any of the bad stuff. All the stuff we've done to ruin it will have stopped. There'll be no more sickness or sadness. There'll be no more crying or pain. And best of all, God will be there. We'll see him face to face. How amazing is that? That's what our verse says. It says, God so loved the world, he paid the price for that he gave his only son. God didn't pay for this new world with money. Jesus came and died on the cross so that we could enjoy that new world, so that we could be forgiven. He took the punishment for us pushing him away. And so we've got a choice. We can keep pushing him away. That's what the last line of the verse says. Shall not perish, but have eternal life. We can keep pushing him away and live with God not as our friend. Keep living with ourselves in charge, both now and in the life to come. How sad will that be? Or you can have that life. You can know that new world with all its wonderful things forever. You can know God as your friend and your father forever. Have you done that? Do you want that? If you do, then you can. Because the third line of a verse says, whoever believes in him, you, me, no matter how old you are or young you are, how bad you've been, whatever you've done, you can know God as your friend if you believe in him. You just have to say, thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Please forgive me. I want you to be my friend and my Lord. And he can be your Lord and your friend forever. You can do that tonight.